Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie, a mom to a Mito fighter. On our podcast, Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and I'm glad you're here to learn and to be part of our community. Hi, Marcia. Thanks for joining us on Energy in Action this week.
Hi, Stephanie. It's nice to meet you. Again, my name is Marcia Quinn, and I am co-executive director for Parent to Parent USA, and I'm just really excited to be here and tell you more about our organization and make sure that every family has a way to connect with another.
Yeah, I am so excited for you to share this opportunity with our community. I know Mito Action has recently joined and is partnering up with you. And as a parent in the Mito world, I know that this is going to be a great resource for so many of us out there that are just, as I always feel, just floundering. So I'm going to let you just take the stage and explain what Parent to Parent is and how it came to be and how we can join forces.
Great. Well, first, I always like to start with a little bit about my personal story so that people know where I come from and my why. So I am a parent of two boys with autism. Actually, they're not boys. They're young adults now, 20 and 22, Camden and Cole, and they are very different on the autism spectrum. One is very independent, off at college, living his fullest life. And then my other son, Camden, is nonverbal, also has epilepsy, and is at home from his caregivers, paid caregivers. So I live the world of autism, and that's what's brought me to my work at Parent to Parent USA. And I've been here for about almost 3 years, two of that being in COVID. So it's been an interesting ride. So a little bit about Parent to Parent USA. It was started about 50 years ago with a group of moms in Nebraska who thought, wouldn't it be great if we could provide peer-to-peer emotional support in addition to everything else that we're throwing at our child, our therapies, our interventions. And fast forward 50 years, and Parent to Parent has 36 statewide alliance members across the U.S., and we are actually one of our major goals right now is to grow that to all 50 and territories. So we have applications from Puerto Rico right now, and Nevada and Florida are our latest. And we're just finishing onboarding with Louisiana. So wow. I'll tell you a little bit about our website and where you can find our member alliance members and how to connect with them. But the basics of Parent to Parent is to ensure that all families have access to peer-to-peer emotional support. And what that means is a family of an individual with any disability or special health care need can contact a parent-to-parent and say, I need help. I would like to be matched with another parent, a trained support parent who is a volunteer, to talk about X, Y, or Z. And X, Y, or Z could be Mito. It could be another diagnosis. It could be a particular situation in their life that's going on, like guardianship at age 18.
Girl, that could be a whole nother topic.
Yes. And it is one of the topics. One of my sons went through guardianship. I'm in the business and I still had challenges with the language and the timeline and the process. And so on any of those situations, we want to make sure that any family is not left alone, that they have somebody else that they can connect with. It's a free intervention. And we find that peer-to-peer emotional support helps people get through life and get through their child's disability or diagnosis. And so, you know, Stephanie, you and I talked about our families, they are volunteers. They don't get paid. Our staff do get paid. And a majority of our staff are also parents themselves. So we also have this peer-to-peer kind of professional support system. My co-executive director has a child with a rare genetic disorder. All of my board members, I'm going to say 95% of my board members have a child or an individual in their family or as a sibling or works in the business. So do you have any other questions about Parent to Parent? I could talk all day.
No. Well, yeah, I have tons of questions, actually. I looked up Minnesota and we are in the Alliance, which I'm really excited about. And in Minnesota, and I think you mentioned when we were talking prior to the podcast, many states or parent to parents are under like the ARC umbrella so that they have that professionalism that comes with it. So this really is more than parents getting together on social media and sharing war stories. And I think that's important. That's an important part of being a parent in this arena, is having somebody that you can say the scary things to, or the weird things that other parents that don't understand laugh would know about. I mean, there are just some things in the rare world that only other rare parents can laugh at with you, right? You don't, you're just like, oh my gosh. So, but what I like about parent to parent is that it has that professional piece to it. You stressed these are trained volunteers. And tell me more about what that training looks like.
It is one of our greatest things is to say that we have trained support parents because we take it very seriously. It's all researched and evidence-based trainings. And we talk about things like self-care and cultural competency or humility and active listening and not pushing your grief upon somebody else. And so there's all of these elements to the training that curb those inappropriate conversations or inappropriate things that a parent might say. And I think you really have to judge. So if somebody wants to be a trained support parent, they really have to be at a place in their life that they're able to pay it forward. They have to have acceptance. They have had to go through their grief process. Again, they can't be putting themselves upon the other person at all times. It's a very sensitive subject to train people to be good humans, right?
Right.
To say the right thing and not the wrong thing at the wrong time. And so each of our Alliance members have their own trainings. And obviously with COVID and the pandemic, 98% of that is virtual. And what does that look like? Some of our organizations, it looks like pre-recorded things that people watch on their own time, and then they take a short quiz. Most of them look as like a combination of what you talked about, kind of a group. So let you imagine 10 adults in a Zoom meeting who get to tell their story and then do a training together. So there's this camaraderie amongst those parents that are getting trained. There's no certification per se, but there's a lot of process that goes into place to make sure that person is put into the database. So if there's a Mito family who also has cerebral palsy or a Mito family that has Down syndrome, there's all these different categories that are put into the database so that they can be tracked. And you would like this because a lot of times the Mito is very rare. So what can happen is if you're in Minnesota where you are, so you contact what is now Family Voices of Minnesota is where our parent-to-parent is housed. You say, hey, I'm a newly diagnosed Mito family. They say, let me check out, you know, what do I have for a support parent for you? Oh, I don't have any Mito families in my state. We have a national communication platform that we can go out of state boundaries. So me as a staff person could go into this matches listserv that I oversee it to make sure that the netiquette, we have a full netiquette about matching that needs to take place. And they can ask outside of the state lines, and then maybe you would be matched with somebody in Louisiana or Connecticut. And so now, you know, even though we didn't have somebody in the state, you have access to a support parent across the country. And so I think you had asked me a question about like the partnership between Mito Action and Parent to Parent USA. And so parents know out there, Mito Action is now a friend of P2P. And what does P2P is Parent to Parent? And what does that mean? It means that we're going to share resources. I'm going to be on your website. You're going to be on my website. We're going to, you know, that if a parent's looking for a support parent, you can contact me and I can connect them with that particular state. It's just a way that to make that sure that every family is double or triple served, right? That if they're accessing you and they need peer-to-peer support and you don't have that part of your organization, we're here to take that family on. So we're really excited because one of our board members has two boys with mitochondrial disease. And so she came to us and said, there's this fabulous organization that you need to reach out to. And so we're just starting, you know, I just met with Kyra, I think it was last week or the week before. And I'm here with you, Stephanie, and excited to share. And I don't know how you share resources with people, but there is a generic national email address that comes straight to me. And it's just memberinfo@p2pusa.org. So anybody can email me and say, hey, I want to be a support parent. One, I want to be trained to be a support parent. Or two, I'm a referred parent and I need help and I'd like to be connected with another family.
Wow.
And it's free.
So is there any limitations on these connections made? So once, let's just say once I'm connected to another parent, regardless of what state they're in, is there like a contract between those people?
Like a timeline?
Or is it like a one time you've got my answers, that's all I have?
So we have kind of a best practices timeline that we want to make sure that there's 4 contacts made within the first 8 weeks. And it's not a contract. We're not going to come police you if you don't follow that. And that was developed. It's kind of outdated right now because that was developed when people were meeting in person. Back in the days when we'd have support groups and we'd serve them lunch and they'd bring their kids and we'd provide childcare. You know, this is, so it's a little outdated at this time, but that's a really good question because the support parent could say, well, if I sign up to be a support parent, what's the capacity? What do I need to commit to? There is no commitment. I mean, there's a commitment that you're going to follow best practices, that you're safe, you're appropriate. You know, there's evaluation of the, you know, what you're providing, but we don't say you have to have 4 parents per annual year that you're matched with. It's based on, you can say I'm at capacity right now. I'm in a pandemic. I'm a parent myself. My child is virtual learning. It's not going well. And, you know, my relationships are not going well. I don't have time for this right now. I'm sorry. It's completely optional. So there's really no, the relationships that are built, it could be a one-stop shop. It could be, I'm newly diagnosed. I don't know where to go. Do you have any ABA or occupational therapy services that you can help me with? Or can you help me deal with how my family's not understanding that, yes, my son has autism. Yeah, he looks fine. He doesn't, you know, he acts pretty normal, but they don't believe me, which is very,
very common.
Very common, unfortunately. So you could be a one-stop, you know, one-stop shop, or you could have a lifelong friend. I mean, I don't know about you, but the friends that I made, I had a support group in my living room when my kids were younger. The organization that I worked for said, can you do this? And I wasn't really that thrilled about it. It was like, hi, my name's Marsha. You know, I didn't know what a support group was going to be. But the people that were in my living room are now my best friends. And yes, our children are no longer children, but those relationships can last a lifetime. And so some of our organizations do focus on like 0 to 8. You know, they are pretty specific, but that doesn't mean that they're going to say, sorry, your kid's not 8. We're not going to match you with somebody. But most of them are across the lifespan. And that's what we would like for all of them to be, because disabilities and special health care needs don't go away.
Right.
They're there. My Cam is going to be on the autism spectrum for his entire life. And so I need supports now just as much. Well, not just as much, but I still need help.
Well, and I think we do need it. And sometimes we just, as they age, we have different things that we need different solutions for. You know, just, it's just different sometimes. When the volunteer and when the mentor and the mentee come together, does the mentor have to record anything? I know for our community, data privacy can be a real sticky point. People are so concerned that something's going to get documented somewhere that, you know, they're going to, and I just want them to be reassured that this is completely what you see is what you get service. There's nobody recording anything.
It's not a paid service.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to keep in mind that this isn't a paid service. So if you're a speech therapist or occupational therapist, you buy license, being a paid, you have to keep those contact logs and your SOAP notes or whatever you want to call them. We tell our support parents, you are not giving legal advice. You're not giving medical advice. You're not a psychologist. So keeping those 3 things in mind, I think the contact logs are all managed at a local level. So I don't know specifically what their requirements are based under their organization. We at P2P USA don't say you have to log your conversations. I'll tell you though, that some of our organizations, you know, do follow a strict that you need to, you know, what is it called? Mandated reporters. So some of them do follow being mandated reporters, and some of them do background checks for their support parents, but not all of them. We do not dictate those things upon our alliance members. It's independent of their own nonprofit 501c3.
And again, that's what I love about parent to parent is that level of professionalism that you allow. I know in Minnesota, you would be background checked. That's just a standard procedure. And I think if I was looking for a mentor, I would want that, to know that that person has been verified in all ways, just verified. So I think that's a great thing to point out, that organizations are managing this program, and so that there are guide rails to go with it. So that's important. Would you say you're hoping to grow this to all 50 states? What does that look like for you? Like how do you get into, I'm just going to say like Idaho if you needed to get to Idaho and develop something there, like how do you decide to do that?
Parent to Parent USA, since Lily and I started, we created a really strong, robust committees based on our board and volunteers from the network. And part of that is a membership committee. And so I run the membership committee, and a couple of our goals are to, one, grow to all 50 states, two, to better engage with our existing members, and three, offer more value to their memberships. More trainings, more engagement, more networking opportunities. So those are the things that I'm working on. And the whole growth piece of growing to all 50 states, I'll encourage you to look at our website where our map is, because it shows you a certain color that are yes and a certain color that are no. And actually, Idaho happens to be one that's on my landscape. I'm from Washington, and it seems like the mountain region is a little scarce right now. Montana, Idaho, Utah.
I call it the medical desert.
Interesting. Well, I'm in that same place. So we as a committee took the states that we aren't currently in and said, okay, does anybody have any relationships in these states, right? Now, do you know the I'm not going to use any acronyms here, but do you know any other organizations that are already there that we could partner with or that would take us under their umbrella? Or, you know, because like I said, each organization, their recipe or their formula of how they're funded and what programming, they're all different. So they could be the PTI, Parent Technical Information Center, or they could be the F2F, which is the family to family, or they could get funds from the Department of Health or the Department of Education or the ARC. So we are researching each state, finding partners, and then I go and interview them and say, would you be interested in adopting our program? And so, like I told you before the podcast, it's been a really busy year in 2021. I've met with Hawaii, Puerto Rico, we're in with Louisiana, Florida, Nevada. I'm hoping Illinois here soon. Gosh, it's starting to really, so what we've just done is we have developed a whole new onboarding and training for those states at the P2P USA level. So we have a volunteer, Ann Canfield. She's awesome. And we are almost done with training Louisiana. And then we'll have that robust training that we can take to the next organization, because we need to train that organization how to be a parent to parent, how to have a coordinator, what's that job description look like, how to take data, how to set up your desk, budgets, outreach. But then we have to train them on how to train support parents. So we have to do a train the trainer. Then we want to help them train those first group of support parents. So it's a very long process, but so far it's moving in the right direction.
Wow. I love the guide rails that you've put around that, and that you really do kind of drill down. It's what you start here and you're just like working down to, okay, now we're train the trainer so we can make sure everybody's on the same page when the first parent calls and says, raises the flag and says, I need help. Do you offer any opportunities for people who have a spouse that needs support?
I was thinking about this morning. So we right now, our main focus is a parent to a parent, and that could be emotional. It could be resources, it could be mental health, or, you know, it could be a whole slew of things, diagnosis, culture, you name it. And then this week I had a person with a disability. I'm not going to say where or who or what, but they actually messaged me on Facebook and said, I need help with housing and financial assistance. And so here I'm in a spot where I'm not matching a parent to a parent, but I don't want to leave that person alone, right?
Right.
So I reached out to that state, and that state provided me with resources in housing, and I was able to help that person. So that felt really good. But, and then another thing that I'm working on right now that you'll probably enjoy, Stephanie, is father engagement.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So I met with a couple different Fathers Network organizations, and I have a board member, a new board member, Len Boston. He's a parent of a daughter with, he'd be okay with me saying this, with Angelman syndrome. And they're another one of our friend of P2P, Angelman syndrome organizations, two of them. And it's just been really apparent in different networking that he's the, you know, he's the only guy that's on these calls. And in the work that we do, and I know I don't want to be cliche, and I know that fathers don't want to hear that they're the only one there, but it really opened my eyes that we need to do something more to support them and to encourage father engagement. So we recently had our conference, and Len and a couple other dads who run organizations did a breakout session on father engagement. And Lennon, you know, is going to help steer us into 2022 with some more programming for dads. And I don't know if that's going to be called support or if it's going to be networking opportunities for them. We're not quite sure. But long story short, we don't really have any, support that you're asking about. A lot of our organizations at the local level do have that. So they do have outreach events or, you know, relationship building events. A lot of them have what's called SIB shops, which are for siblings of individuals with disabilities. A lot of them have advocate groups. So they're actually adults with disabilities. They're advocating with their peers to help with programming. So yes, at the local level, some of that, but right now at the national level, we're kind of trying to figure that out.
I like what you said, though, that if I run into that situation, I could find the state, see if there's a parent-to-parent there, and then just say, does your organization offer a solution for this scenario? And then able to at least give somebody something, because I think, are cut from the same cloth on this, is you just hate to shrug your shoulders and go, I don't know. When somebody finally gets the courage to say, hey, I need help, the last thing you want to do is say, I don't know what to do for you, because they're already being as brave as they can at that point. And to say, you're just going to have to flounder longer isn't acceptable for me.
Well, and they're in crisis.
Right.
This is a moment of crisis for them to reach out and ask for help. Clearly, you know, and there's a time frame, you know, we want somebody to get a return phone call within 24 hours, and the whole matching that we have hashtags that go first request, hashtag second request, hashtag third request, hashtag match found. So there, you know, there's a process that they're following to ensure that these families that do get matched.
Wow. I like that, match found. Eventually or soon, I've heard rumors that our website will have your logo on it as one of our partners. And then we will have a tab where our people on our page can go to that and find out more information about parent to parent. And I believe it'll provide them that link that gets to your main page, and then they can find from there their state organization. Am I correct?
That is correct. And they can hover over their state, and it will give them the link to the website and the phone number of that organization and how to refer a parent or to if you want to become a support parent.
I am going to make sure that we have a call out that if they see that their state isn't one of the 36 already established, that they can reach out to me and I will find a way to get them, like you stated, you know, somehow connected in. We're just not going to let somebody flounder out there. If they really want to be connected to somebody, we'll find a way to connect you with somebody.
Yeah, that email that I can share with you again, Stephanie, goes directly to me. I manage it every day, and then I refer that person. It says what's your name, your state, and what, you know, what's the description of what you're looking for, and I refer them directly to the state.
Great. We'll put that email in our show notes. I know a lot of the people, you know, listen to podcasts while they're doing other things, myself included. So don't worry about having a pen and paper is what I always say. It'll be in the show notes. You can definitely just go look this up and you'll see all the information, the links, everything you want to know that we've talked about. So yeah, that email, that direct email, I think would be an amazing lifeline for some people. I can already in my head, I can think of MITO and non-MITO families that could really utilize this opportunity to get connected. Because I know just a few years ago on social media, I quote, found my people. And it was an amazing feeling to finally get connected with other moms who had a child with my son's diagnosis, because we are in the rare arena. It was, you know, it's hard to find, but it was literally a joyous moment for me. to find my people. So it was better than anything that's ever happened on Ancestry.com. I'll say that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So. That's awesome. I never really thought about that, about Ancestry.com. But that's why parent to parent is here. You know, I mean, even though autism is pretty, it's a number one diagnosis that people are requesting, but IDD is second, rare genetic disorders is third. I think genetics 3, Down syndrome's 4, I think cerebral palsy's 5, but I love numbers and data, so I'm always like,
same.
What are they calling us for? And you know, COVID was different. Family support looked different. People were looking for housing and food, and you know, they couldn't keep their jobs because they had to stay at home to take care of their children who were virtual learning, who couldn't be independent, and mental health and racial and social injustice. And I mean, it's just been a wild ride.
It has.
The last couple of years.
The last 18 months have just been, I think every Band-Aid that was on society got ripped off, and every way that we had been held together has now been dissolved. And we are just finally coming back together with a new social construct of how we're going to look as a society. And I think it'll be very, very different than what we had prior to. We'll see if it's good or bad. But
yeah, which it is for us, definitely. Our delivery method, you know, things that we're talking about. The internet work, you know, we have monthly coffee talks and we have a racial and social injustice task force, and we have supported decision making, guardianship webinars. I mean, there's a lot of things that are out there for parents and our staff. And what I'm finding, just between you and I mean, I feel like you and I right now are getting peer-to-peer support as professionals, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
And that's what our staff need. You know, they're out there taking care of families and helping families, but they need to be able to talk amongst one another. So part of our communication platform, there's a listserv that's private for directors and for coordinators to talk amongst one another and network. Say, hey, I'm looking for research on cultural competency. Who has some training materials out there that could help me? So they have that to help you, that, you know, the peer-to-peer support internally as well as our families.
That's excellent. And I will say, I feel like my cup is being definitely filled today, just having our conversation. Like you said, we're getting support professionally from each other. I love finding out I have more resources mm-hmm. in my bag of tricks for me to utilize with our families. Like I said, I hate to come back empty-handed. I like to try to find something that will help somebody, not just a consolation prize. So this is going to be a huge win for both our organizations, putting us together at the table. I think our families are really going to find it very valuable. So thank you for reaching out to us and letting us know you guys are there and saying, hey, we think you would be a value add to us. And I'm super glad that it was a good connection, because I can't wait to start referring.
Well, thanks, Stephanie. It was lovely to meet you and learn more about MITL families. So it's an education for me and my organization as well. So thanks for the opportunity.
And thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure meeting you, Marcia. As you can see, I am very excited about this collaboration with Parent to Parent and MITL Action. Please keep an eye out on our website to learn more. And also, you can find the designated email address that Marcia mentioned in the show notes for this podcast. Using this email will allow you to request a mentor, even if your state does not have a designated resource at this time. Well, that about does it for this week's episode. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. This helps to boost us up the charts and makes us easier to find. Be sure to join me next time for All Things MITL on Energy in Action. This is your host, Stephanie, Rare Mom Extraordinaire.